welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Monday. Woo! President's Day. Come on.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this quick hitting show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Like Ray said, we're hitting you quick on the holiday with some holiday half-hour speed show. Just give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out rayandtaytoday.com. Add us. Hit us up at Twitter, at Ray and Tay Today.
See,
Facebook,
you're talking Twitter
Tay.
Talk already.
You got to listen, at us on Twitter.
Exactly, that's the new.
You know, we're not on Instagram. That's all right, though. We don't need to be on Instagram. But you can YouTube us at Ray and Tay Today. Check out some of our, you know, best of Ray and Tay Today. You know, we did some prophetic talk way back in, what, October? Talking about Seahawks and Broncos, and then it became the Super Bowl. So check us out. Ray, let them know, man. So the NBA All-Star Weekend, Sochi.
Yeah, we've got a couple of topics, two, three topics to talk about, but a lot of juice and substance behind those topics. So we'll go quickly around this Winter Olympics in Sochi. We'll talk about what's going on over there. The hockey's heating up. We're into week two. They're getting a little fog over there, so the weather's not really cooperating. Then we'll talk about the NBA and this All-Star festivity weekend. We'll talk about what we thought about it, what the NBA did right, what they did wrong, a quick peek into the second half of the season. And then we'll talk NCAA hoops. So a lot of basketball talk this show. And let's start it off by talking some Winter Olympics, Sochi style.
Sochi style. Well, you know what? It's Germany, the Russian Federation, Netherlands, America, Norway. It's interesting to see, you know, who's got, you know, what in terms of the medals and some of these smaller countries that, you know, have one or two medals. And it's got to be exciting for these different athletes. Ray and I were talking off air how the Americans sent so many guys and men and women and, you know, we've got, what, 18 medals, you know, but most of them are bronze, 9 bronze and then 5 gold, 4 silver. But Germany, Ray, 8 gold medals. That's pretty impressive. You know, they're number one by far with that. I mean, a couple of countries have got 5, but Germany is number one with 8 gold medals. So,
yeah, 4
pretty
countries
good.
With 5 gold, yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, you know, we've had some disappointments, you know, whether it's been Bodie Miller or Mancuso for the women. You know, I don't know if you heard about the Under Armour with the speed skaters. They had to, you know, they didn't like the mesh on the back. But then when they switched it and went back to the old ones, they still didn't run any faster. So it might not have been the uniforms. I don't know. I can't get disappointed. I think we got to be proud and also celebrate the whole world, right? The Olympics is about not just, you know, nation pride. I think it's about great events and great competition. I think this hockey is going to heat up. And I think America, Ray, they got a good shot of winning the gold for men and women in hockey. You know, the women won 6-1 over, what, Sweden, and their favorites to maybe play against Canada. And I think the men have got a good shot, you know. I mean, did you hear about the Czechoslovakia team, you know, not putting on some of their best players for the men? There was a lot of controversy with their team. They didn't, you know, put on their best NHL guys. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't, but evidently they're supposedly, you know, a couple of almost all-star caliber players in the NHL that they didn't put on for the Czech Republic. So we'll see. Anything grabbing you? I mean, so far,
no,
obviously the weather has been, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, but before we get started on the actual events, the weather, you know, this is a village, Sochi, that's kind of a subtropical village. You know, it's almost like there shouldn't be a Winter Olympics over there. It's 60 degrees, and up in the mountains, they're not having enough snow. And I know that there were some issues about the snow and the conditions, and now even the bobsledders are saying because of the fog, the bobsled course is becoming less than ideal. So I don't know. They might have to revisit where they do these Winter Olympics. The thing is, unlike the Summer Olympics, where the worst thing you have is maybe some rain and a little bit of cold weather, the Winter Olympics you can really you know, have a bad experience if you don't have the right weather, especially up in the mountains where you need to have ski conditions be right. But look, at the end of the day, these Olympics are cool for what they are. It's performance. It's the ultimate in, you know, team and individual performances. And it's, look, it's a lot of fun. The other issue is watching the games on tape delay as opposed to watching them live, because some people know the outcome, right? So in hockey, for example, when the U.S. played Russia, the game was on at 7:30. And people, you know, knew the results already by 10 o'clock, and then NBC aired it at night. And so people were getting to bars and seeing the games. And some people were only got to see the overtime and the shootout. So it was actually a great game if you follow hockey, but NBC decided maybe because enough people watched it at 7:30 live, that the people that watched it on tape delay only got to see the end of the game. So a little bit of controversy there.
Well, you know what's not controversial and pretty much a smart move? As we started the NFL offseason, we talked about some players last week getting cut. T. Sizzle re-signed with the Ravens, four-year extension, and, you know, moving some things around with the money, so kind of smart. I got to believe that Flacco, if he really wants to win and they really want the Ravens to get another Super Bowl, Flacco might have to restructure like all these big-time quarterbacks do.
Well, you remember what I said?
I'm wondering if he's going to do it.
The Ravens are never going to win a Super Bowl again with Joe Flacco because, A, I don't think he's that good, and he's not worth the $20 million against the cap when your whole cap is, what, like 119 or something like that? And, B, you know, I don't know that. If he doesn't restructure his contract and you put that much money into him and Ray Rice for the next few years, I don't know where the rest of your money – I guess T-Sizzle, Haloti Ngata, they have to make a decision on. But I don't see this Raven team being much of a force, much more than an 8-8, 9-7 team. And so I don't think they're going to win another Super Bowl in the foreseeable future. So Ozzie Newsome did a great job of you know, winning two in 2000 and then last year in 2012, but if I'm a Ravens fan, I don't know quite what to think about my squad right now.
Well, I'll tell you this. The Saints re-signed Graham, but it wasn't Jimmy. It was Shane Graham, the kicker. So they still got to re-sign Jimmy Graham. You got to believe they're going to get him a long-term deal and probably not franchise him. Although, you know, franchise starts today. It ends March 3rd, and then free agency starts March 11th. The Combine starts Saturday. Ray and Tay will be on Saturday, and, you know, we'll talk a little NFL Combine. That's going to be fascinating. Should be interesting to see, you know, obviously – the whole issue with Michael Sam, see what teams are really interested and maybe if he can up his grade from a fourth round to maybe a third or something, see how fast he runs in terms of rushing the passer. But really, it's going to be about these quarterbacks, Ray. You want to know, you know, really, can Blake Bortles, can he do what he needs to do? How big is Bridgewater? You know, can he put on some size in terms of muscle?
Can we feed that young man? Can we give him
Then Johnny Manziel, he's talking about, Russell Wilson's paved the way. I think also let's give some shout-out to Drew Brees because he's not a big guy either. No. But Russell Wilson and Brees are bigger in terms of, like, size and strength and thicker than Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, Ray, you know, one or two scrambles, and, I mean, this kid could be, like, ripped apart.
Well, that's
apart.
The other
he
thing. His game
fragile.
Is more susceptible to taking that – big, big hit that can knock him out. But hold on. I think we got a caller on the that wants to ask us a question. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, guys. Mike in Pittsburgh. How's
hey,
it going?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
How's it going, Mike?
Guys, I'm doing okay. I want to get into this All-Star game, the whole weekend, but specifically yesterday's game. And to start it off, I like to first say I'm in my 40s, and I thought it was an absolute joke, the game yesterday. The main reason being here is if these guys came out and wanted to play defense, if one or two guys wanted to do it, it would seem to me that the other players would think they're selling out. I mean, it's like the and one. If you remember the professor and all those guys from a couple years ago that shows on ESPN, they go around doing whatever they want, you know, and, you know, they get close to the basket. It's not contested. Here's my problem, guys, is I'm from back in the old school in the 80s. Now, you get a team like there, like Larry Bird, Dr. J, they didn't get along, much less, you know, there was some, you know, I would say some nerves when they're playing each other. And then you put them on against Magic Johnson and the Lakers. They weren't just going to let each other do what they did like I saw the game yesterday. I thought it was a complete joke the whole weekend. But the game
But Mike, be fair. It's been like that. I mean, look, we know what All-Star games are. They don't play to the fourth quarter. They, you know, set records, tons of records for scoring, 47 in the third for the East. In the fourth quarter, it was 40-29 in terms of scoring, so a little bit more defense, which is traditional. But, I mean, it's kind of maybe since the late 80s or early 90s, it's always been, and even then, guys didn't go full out. There was a little bit more pride, but I don't know if you can really kill them. I think out of the All-Star games, it's probably the best game. I mean, baseball is a little too much in terms of everybody, you know, playing all the different teams. I think they gave you the best, you know, it got exciting.
I'm with Mike. I agree with you. I was watching this game, and I hated to say it, but I was like, how can I see all this talent and not enjoy the game? I didn't enjoy it at all. And the fourth quarter, the second half of the fourth quarter, when Kyrie Irving took over, and then
Kyrie
the guys
busy.
In the West missed a few threes, and then it became a game. I guess earlier on, the East is when the East made the run. But I was watching all of these talented guys, and I'm like, really? The key stat for me, if you had to sum it up in one number, was zero block shots. There was no block shots in the whole game. Now, granted, that doesn't tell you much. You can still play D without blocking any shots. But really? I mean, 163, 150, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I go back to the Bad Boys, Bill Laimbeer, Isaiah Thomas. You put them on with Larry Bird, Kevin McHale on the same team. Those guys hated each other. They're on the same team, and then you're putting them up against the Western Conference. I mean, I saw players going up for dunks and getting put on the ground back in those days. Now if someone did it, I felt bad. Jakeem Noah out there, it seems like he's someone that wanted to go out there and play some defense, but if he did, you know exactly those players, the rest of the players on the team would be all over his butt because they just want to free will it out there.
LeBron looked like he was playing D a little bit, Paul George a little bit.
Paul George
so,
a little.
The question is, so I personally agree with you, Mike, and I think it's horrible. The question is, what do you do, right? So you know that these guys are becoming more friendly, and there's not that heated animosity that there was in the 80s, and we're the same age, so we're all in the same boat, right? So there's that same there isn't that same feeling that you had in the 80s. So given that, how do you incent these guys? I don't know. I mean, this is something Adam Silver has to deal with, I guess. How do you incent these guys to play some D and not make it a total mockery? Because it is the best All-Star game, I think, because in football you're scared about getting hurt. So more than anything, nobody wants to get hurt. And it's after the season and, you know, 17 weeks of regular season, 16 games, and maybe you play playoffs, your body's banged up. So this is in the middle of the season. It should be the best All-Star game. But you're right, the product, to me, was a joke until the fourth quarter.
You know what, guys, I really didn't like, and a lot of people, I know I'm going against the grain here, but I don't like all these entertainers, these stars on the court in the slam dunk contest being props. You know, if I miss a good dunk, they jump, they're running out on the court. I think it just kind of takes away from the basketball experience. Now, if you're not a diehard basketball fan, and I know I'm a little excessive, I know the mainstream population probably likes seeing all these entertainers out there involved, but I just think it turns it more into a me-first thing instead of, you know, the basketball game in general.
Well, the only thing
I'd like to hear what Tay
has to say about this, but my only feeling, I hear what you're saying, my only problem is that we've been dunking, the players have been dunking for 30, 35 years, and now it's really, really hard to do original dunks. So you almost have to introduce props and introduce other things. I hear what you're saying, but it's really tough on these kids to become original and to do these things. I feel like the dunks were actually really good this year. I didn't really understand the format, and everybody was like, is it over? The East won? And how did you determine the
dunk?
Yeah,
it was awkward. Yeah, let me say this. Like, I totally see what you're saying, Mike. And, you know, for me, I always tried not to get too, I don't want to say like the crotchety old guys, right? Because we're in our 40s, whatever. And I have a 14-year-old son. And I try to sometimes look through things through the kids' eyes. And it's still exciting. I do think, yes, I want the defense. The dunk is not as exciting. Even my son didn't like the freestyle stuff because you wanted another round, and I think they've tinkered with it too much. I think the dunk contest needs to go away, and then the fans, like, beg for it to come back. I think what the NBA should try to do is maybe do a 3-on-3 or a 2-on-2. That would be fascinating to see. Maybe even horse, you know, just sort of like the old commercial with Jordan and Bird. I think that might be fascinating. But I also want to throw this at you, Mike, while we got you on there. Carmelo played really well, and there's been sort of like some interesting things, whether he might, you know, take less money to stay and try to, you know, bring people like, you know, like what LeBron did, give LeBron credit. People might not have liked him leaving Cleveland, but, you know, he, to do what they did, they all took a little bit less money, and I think that's what you got to do. But right now there's rumors heating up with all the trade, you know, talks coming up. There's a talk of a three-way deal, and it's the Raptors, Knicks, and Hawks, and Jeff Teague might wind up going to the Raptors or the Knicks, and Lowry might go to the Knicks. So the three teams are trying to work something out. What would you think about the Knicks maybe getting, I don't want to say a real point guard, I don't want to kill Ray Felton, but what do you think about the Knicks maybe getting a point guard to maybe help keep Melo in New York?
Well, if they could get Lowry, I'm all for it. But from what I heard, Toronto pretty much they're going to hang on to him because, you know, they were trying to tank, and now that they're having a good season and first in, you know, the Atlantic Division, they were going to hang on to him. That's just what I heard. But you know, it's a joke to me. Melo taking less money. I have to see that to believe it. you know, guys, I'm going to go back to it. It's the me generation.
Yeah.
I was shocked, guys, when I saw LeBron, Wade, and Bosch take a little less money. But then again, you know, LeBron's making, you know, 10 times that in endorsements. To see Carmelo take less money, I would be completely shocked. I think the Knicks are going to be left here with their tail between their legs with him leaving and then getting nothing back in return here, you know, not trading him before the trade deadline. That's just my opinion.
I think what happened was, if I could read the tea leaves, he probably told them, Carmelo, that he would take less if they were to bring a star over. And maybe he would, but he always has the out to say, well, you didn't bring Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
Or you didn't bring LeBron, a tight player, right? Obviously, those two are, well, maybe not, but those two may or may not stay in Miami. But, you know, Carmelo can come out of this still being the, you know, still saving face by saying, look, if you brought me a franchise player, then I would take less. But if you bring me Kyle Lowry, I'm not going to take less.
They can't do anything next year. If he were to do that, they would have to wait till the following year before they can bring anyone. They're so strapped next year.
Right.
No draft picks.
Yeah, and
so
this is
basically you're saying, Carmelo, wait one more year, and then we'll do it
right
for you.
Yeah, we get
well,
rid
exactly,
of Amari's contract,
and
then we get to
yeah, and they
want to
go after Kevin Love
next year.
But Mike, this is why you might have to. The Knicks might have to buck up, trade either Shumpert or Hardaway, which I don't want to do in terms of young guys, but they might have to package Chandler and or Raymond Felton with a young guy to move a little bit of money and to maybe get somebody. You know, there's talks about Chandler maybe going to OKC for Perkins. You know, the Nets are looking at Jarrett Jack, which might be interesting from Cleveland. I think there's going to be a lot of little deals at the deadline. I'm just interested to see, you know, do the Celtics move a Rondo or see what happens. I'm going to ask you this, though. Give me one player out of the All-Star weekend that you sort of were impressed by. Did you like John Wall? Did you like Bellinelli hitting the three, or, you know, Kyrie Irving? Give me something that you like from the weekend, Mike. You got to be a little positive somewhere.
That is tough because I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the damn thing, guys. I'm stretching it right here, just saying maybe just go along with the season, Durant and some of the moves he had on LeBron when LeBron was actually trying to play a little defense. Durant actually had some nice step back, you know, 3-point shots. So I'm going to have to really grasp at something, but I'll go with Durant.
All right,
okay.
That's fair.
He wants to win his MVP, so he showed out very well in the All-Star game. I thought that he played hard, he shot well.
Blake Griffin played hard, too. I mean, come on, Blake Griffin, he had a pretty impressive game. Most of it was dunks, but
he was just catching alley-oops, though. I don't know that he was doing much on the other side of the court.
Hey, Carmelo played good. I got to stand up for Melo, and I thought Kyrie was kind of impressive because Kyrie's been getting ripped all year. Now let's see if he can get the Cavaliers team to focus and have, you know, a better second half. So that should be interesting. We'll see how that goes. So, all right, Mike. Well, thanks for calling, man. And,
yeah, we appreciate the call.
Let's get ready for the second half. I think it's going to be fun.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, take care. So, you know, that sort of leads us to where we were going, and you know, I'm telling you and talking to you about some of these rumors, but let me ask you, as a Knicks fan, would you rather have Jeff Teague or Kyle Lowry?
Can I say neither? Oof. I mean, they're both okay, but look, if you're building a championship team, neither of them are championship point guards. I mean, I think they're both serviceable.
That's fair.
Kyle Lowry is one of these guys that's doing very well up in Toronto. Maybe it's because the national media spotlight is not on him. Solid player, but he's not the guy that's going to keep Carmelo in New York. So in some ways, I'm thinking, are we making the wrong move there? I mean, what's the guy? And I hate to give so much power to one guy, but you have to think to yourself, Carmelos of the world don't come along very often. And we talked about this off air a little bit, but to win an NBA championship, the only team I can think of in the modern NBA era, so since the late 70s, early 80s, the Detroit Pistons
without a star,
in 2004 are the only team that won without a star or a Hall of Famer. So they won with Tayshaun Prince and Rasheed Wallace and you know, Rip Hamilton and Chauncey. No Hall of Famers. Good players, very good players, all stars here and there, but that formula doesn't work. You need two stars to win an NBA championship, and we have one. Now, he has some issues, you know, we have some issues with what we're surrounding him with. So who is that other star that you put around Carmelo? Because having Carmelo and nobody else is...
I'll tell you this.
That's the Bernard
King
model of the early 80s. That didn't work.
You're right. I'm going to tell you this. Because of Amari's deal, we can't move him and his knees, but he actually is playing pretty efficient basketball, and I think Amari needs some more minutes in the second half, but I think what I told you, they're going to have to move one of the young guys, Chandler and Felton, and then you know maybe you bring back, if you're lucky, a Rondo and a Jeff Green, or you know maybe you bring back a Kyle Lowry and you know, one of their young, you know, I don't know what else it is. I mean, I think they could maybe get Eric Bledsoe, you know, maybe one of the Suns' first picks. The Suns want some size. They were looking for Zach Randolph. You know, maybe Tyson Chandler makes them a little bit legitimate, and you could move Plumlee to the four, you know, and maybe you throw in a Shumpert or Hardaway and see if you can get, you know, Tucker or Green, you know, with the Bledsoe. I don't know, but I tell you this, if they want – they can't stand pat. I just don't think you can stand pat. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's a sticky situation, you know. It's just hard for the Knicks. But you know what? NBA – It's fun, it's exciting, and there's going to be a lot, and we're going to give you all the stuff for the deadline. But let's talk about this top 25. You know, let's talk about college hoops because it's heating up. I mean, you know, teams are there's some big wins. The Big Ten had some bad losses over the weekend, and I'll let you say the top, you know, 10 or whatever. But I also want to ask you this: who's the best conference in college basketball right now? Is it Big Ten, ACC, Big 12? Give me the top 10, and then tell me what you think about that.
Sure. So what's interesting is that Florida, my Florida Gators, have won again, and they're 23-2. They're number two overall, but somebody voted for Florida as the number one team in the country. So that's a little ridiculous. And I'm talking about Florida for the whole year. I've been saying how Florida and Billy Donovan probably, you know, might win the national championship. But Syracuse should be 65-65. First-place votes, but they're not. They only got 64 first-place votes. Somebody voted for Florida, so I don't know if it's a Florida booster or a Billy Donovan or what.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nah,
so Syracuse number one, Florida number
two. Two close calls for Syracuse, though. Two close calls.
That's true, but they didn't lose. They didn't lose. They won. Wichita State number three, your Arizona Wildcats number four, Duke creeping back up. So trend
is up.
You
got them, Ray.
Number five, San Diego State. Number six, Cincinnati at 23-3. Number seven, quiet has kept Kansas, and Joel Embiid is coming back this week, 19-6 at number eight. Villanova, with a tough loss over the weekend to Creighton, is 23-3. Oh, shout out to Doug McDermott for scoring 39 points and moving to, what is it, 13th place?
14th,
I had a Larry
14th,
Bird in the, we passed Otis Birdsong and Larry Bird on the all-time scoring list. He's 140 points away from 3,000, so shout out to him. Number 10 is St. Louis at 23-2.
They were disappointing last year in the tournament. Remember, everybody got hyped up about them and then nothing.
Yeah, so some interesting points. So you asked me what conference, and, you know, I still go back to the Big Ten. I mean, you know, they had, about a month or two ago, they had 3, 4, and 5 in the country in their conference, and they all beat up on each other. But I just think that the depth, because they go 7 or 8 deep, so I think that even though their best team, you know, in the rankings is Michigan State, but Michigan State's 13, Iowa's 15, Wisconsin is 16, Michigan is 20, Ohio State is 24, and then they have a few teams that are right on the verge of getting some, you know, getting some votes. So I think that I still think that the Big Ten, because of the depth, is probably the best team, the best conference in the country.
Yeah, you know, that's fair. I think what's fascinating to me is, you know, Big 12, they've been beating up on each other a little bit too. I think the ACC is starting to show, and also
especially with Virginia, quiet is kept. Nobody's talking about Virginia because, you know, Duke and Syracuse, everybody knows about. But, you know, there's Pitt, there's Virginia, Carolina might break the top 25 in a few more.
And listen, they're the next team. They're like number 26 in the country, and I told you they were going to be Pitt on our Friday show. They did. Shout out to our Tar Heels. And how about the Red
Storm?
Red Storm are playing some good ball. They beat Georgetown. And you know what's so funny? The Big East and the American Athletic Conference, the ex-former Big East or whatever, both these conferences are actually looking like they might get 4 or 5 teams in, you know, or maybe even 5 or 6. So it's heating up. I mean, UConn, nice win, you know, over the weekend. It's getting exciting. And to me, I think what's going to happen is – It's the guard play. I mean, look at Louisville. Yes, Gorgui Dieng was a big glue, but I think, you know, it was, you know, Siva and Russ Smith, and, you know, you got to look at guards. So I think Connecticut, Syracuse with Ennis, you know, these are some teams you're going to have to watch out for because, you know, at the end of the day, guard play really, you know, really does it for you.
Yeah, it always has, especially in the tournament. You know, it's very rare that big men dominate. Usually guards dominate because they have the ball in their hands, and just that's the nature of the college game. So, you know, March Madness is but weeks away. So we're going to try and get our boy Seth Davis back on the show. But we've got a lot of college basketball coming up. So soon enough, we're going to be talking about conference tournaments, conference champions, the NCAA tournament. So we got a lot to talk about coming up.
March 8th, right? Everything, those are the last games of the season. And then you'll have tournament week. And then the 9th and then what, 7th? So March 16th is Selection Sunday. That's right around the corner. So it's going to be hot, man. It's definitely going to be hot. And I can't wait. I still wonder if there's going to be a surprise team, you know, to take it home. I don't know if there's definitely a Louisville this year. You know, we both kind of felt Louisville winning Michigan sort of surprised us coming right there in the championship. But this year, I don't see a Louisville, you know.
Well, look, the top four seeds are probably going to be Syracuse, Florida, maybe
Wichita,
Arizona,
yeah.
Maybe Duke, maybe Wichita State. Between those five, they'll probably maybe a Kansas if they were to run the table. But it's losses already. So probably four out of those five teams probably would be a number one seed. I mean, maybe there's an outside shot of a Louisville or a Villanova maybe sneaking back in there. But these aren't powerhouse teams. I mean, I guess Syracuse is undefeated. Maybe I'm disrespecting Syracuse, but I don't look at them at 25-0 like I did that UNLV team that was undefeated.
No.
You know?
They are not unbeatable. But you know what I'll give them credit for? I'll say this. For a freshman point guard, he doesn't turn the ball over, Ray. And that's
especially
rare.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, so that's something that I think Syracuse Nation has got to be, you know, the Orange Heads, they got to be excited about that. And so we'll see how it plays out. So I'm getting hyped. You know, I like the combine. I love March Madness. You know, we'll do our tournament picks and we'll do our brackets and people could, you know, watch and see how we do and, you know, challenge us. And we do the ESPN challenge. It's going to be fun. And Ray and I, we've got different brackets that we fill out, you know, different places. So it's going to be hot. It's definitely going to be hot. So
yeah, well, you
stay
know
tuned.
We had a great show. It was a quick-hitting show.
Definitely.
Great show. We'll be back later in the week, probably on Saturday this week. So keep an eye out for us. We might do a Saturday show instead of our traditional Friday show. And have a great sports week.
Yeah. I'm having some technical difficulties, so why don't you click us out with a little beat and then and you can end up the show for us. Hit us out with the fader. I'm all frozen over here, man. I don't know what's up. I got a frozen mouse. But NBA is back Tuesday night. Everybody check it out and let's hope we get some good trades.
Yeah, Ray and Tay, we're out. We'll see you later in the week.
Talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace.